How does this work? Yeah.
By now, PC may have been already recording, trying to pick up something like just random that we said throughout the beginning. Because you know how he likes to throw in that like random little outtake thing in the beginning? So I don't know if you've been recording or if that means you're recording now because now you're suddenly quiet. Oh, nice.
You don't play poker
much, do you, DP?
Me? I do. And I win a lot.
Is it just because you fuck with people constantly? You can never tell when you're bluffing?
Pretty much.
I thought it's because he was playing with blind melon farmers. That's what I thought. or remedial people, you know.
See, that would have been perfect to say blind melon farmers, and then we go right into, like, blind melon no rain as, like, our intro song. It's like, at some point, because that's a fucking perfect segue.
I know that's not the song you want, but
I thought we were audibling because that just worked, and then I'm like, all right, whatever.
She's crazy like a fool.
What about Daddy Cool?
Daddy's cool, and I'm cool, daddy-o. Can you dig it, baby? Give me 5 on the black-hand side. Right on, right on. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest and greatest edition of Pod is Melon Farming War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with thechairshot.com. Always use your head. And use your head, also use your wallet, your Apple Pay, your PayPal, whatever the case may be. And just take your stinking ass to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official chair shot merchandise, your official chair shot t-shirts. Become part of the movement. Be part of something that's greater than yourself. Because if you're not going to thechairshot.com for all of your wrestling news, reviews, and analysis with attitude, you're slipping on your pimping. We truly are the premier site in pro wrestling today. If I do say so myself. 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 Hold up. Only the other black guy is going to get that one. And Amber. So shout out. I did that for Amber. I did that for you, baby. Anywho, my name is Christopher Platt. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Andrew. Do not call me Snowflake Balls Blast. Can you dig it, baby?
Oh, yeah, baby. It's groovy, baby. Like, you can't be slipping on your pimping when we started off with that Daddy Cool song. I mean, come on. Like, we got that whole pimping groove. Like, you know, DP, our wonderful guest moderator, because we finally got somebody different. You got to love that song, DP. Is Daddy Cool for you?
It sounds like if Shaft and Austin Powers and maybe Magna P.I. all got together and had a baby, that would be its theme song.
I mean, that's too many white guys. Like, that was super smooth, and I don't think, like, Austin Powers and Magnum P.I. could pull that off. What do you think, Platt?
No, number one, shout out to Magnum P.I., which was an awesome-ass show. I just had to throw that out there. I love that show. Even in college, I used to watch the reruns. You know how they have, like, the local stations, even if you don't have cable. I used to watch the reruns, yes. And I still got a kick out of it. But I would take out Magnum P.I. You can keep Austin Powers in there. Keep the first guy you said. And then throw Sly Stone. and throw Sly Stone in there, and I think you got it right there.
That works. No family, just Sly Stone.
Just Sly. We don't need a family, just Sly.
I'm just making sure we're checking on that one. That had that nice 70s porno groove to it. Like, I loved it. Like, it was nice.
Because that's clearly what he was going for. He was going for Sly Stone slash Johnny Keys, who was the black porn star in the 70s.
Yep.
And and there's a little bit of Jim Kelly in there as well. Shout out to Jim Kelly. If you don't know who Jim Kelly is, go watch Enter the Dragon.
Oh, that was the football player for the Buffalo Bills, right? The quarterback?
No. Yeah that's what it is. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Jim Kelly?
Jesus
Christ. Jim Kelly!
Mike Knox, come save me, brother. Save me.
Jim Kelly and Mark Rippon out there tearing it up. Daddy Cool.
Oh, and Ken Anderson. Come on the Bengals. That the Who Day Daddy Cools. That's who they are. Oh, yeah.
Now, if you wanted to throw Bobby Hebert in there, then I would have been able to smoke a bag of that, because Bobby Hebert sound like, you know, he got a little ethnicity to him. That's that whole New Orleans vibe. Although we don't all sound like that. Let me just clarify.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not letting y'all have no fun.
Well, yeah, I know. You're just like nipping everything off of the butt. Jam. Damn. Yeah. Is this what you expected it to be, DP? Are you still grooving out to the Daddy Cool song?
Man, it's stuck in my head now, brother.
That's all that is, and that's thanks to Ash versus Evil Dead Season 3. Even that thing got canceled, that had a groovy soundtrack to it. Oh, that was nice.
Shout out to Bruce Campbell, by the way, who is awesome. Bruce Campbell is that dude, man.
He is that dude.
Yeah.
Even if we're not talking about, you know, some of his more ridiculous things, like, oh, what the hell was that? The Elvis. Remember when he was the Elvis impersonator? But what was that, Bubba Hotep? Was that terrible, like, C-rated movie that was just amazingly bad?
Yeah, I don't even know where you're going with that. I'm talking Bruce Campbell, Evil Dead, and Bruce Campbell, Burn Notice. So I don't know anything about that.
You've never seen Bubba Hotep?
No. Why would I have seen Bubba Hotep?
You've seen some random-ass shit in your life, and I thought that might have been right up there with it, because...
Yeah, that's fair.
You don't get much better than, like, an old person and, like, an Elvis impersonator trying to defeat ghosts.
That's fair. I mean, I did see Gummo. You ever seen that one? Gummo?
No, wait. Maybe. That's
the dude that did Kids, he did Gummo.
Yeah, I think I have. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that it doesn't get much more random than that.
That's fair. That is fair.
By the way, shout out to DP, man. It's nice to have some true professionals on the job this evening, you know. And shout out to our commissioner, PC Tunney, who is getting his anal glands bleached this evening. off the heels of his genital reassignment surgery. So he's got a lot going on. So get better, PC.
I understand if you're going to do that, you might as well just do them all in a row. It works out better. So you got to knock them all out, man.
No, I agree. And I think his tummy tuck is next week, so he's probably not going to be here.
He's really going for the pure Sid Vicious. They're nice.
Yeah, man. He's got a lot going on, man. But I respect his courage.
Yes.
Lay off of him. I respect his courage. And good for you. Good for you, PC. You saw some things that needed some.
Yeah, we were over this last week. We're equal opportunity hatred and equal opportunity support. Right now, we're choosing to support. So good job, PC.
Actually, it's a little bit of both, but that's kind of what we're going here.
There was sarcasm there. You were being funny. You didn't actually mean what you were saying. Oh, no.
Your whole gimmick is sarcasm. We know that, man.
And
even when you're trying to be sincere, you come off as a dick. That's just kind of what this is.
I know. That makes it easy for me to just never be sincere.
Well, you just are never sincere.
Or I'm always sincere and people just don't know it.
Yeah, probably not.
You don't know that. I can be super sensitive. I am the snowflake. You don't know these things, though. Come on.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not lying. I'm sure you're super sensitive, but you're also never sincere.
He's balls, not dick.
Oh, God.
Matter of fact, we're going to start calling him Ovaries, man. He's Andrew's Snowflake Ovaries Belaz.
That doesn't even work.
It does. Shout out to the 44%. We love y'all, though.
I mean, we do, but it doesn't work for the name. Come on. Anyway, all right, this is prattled on long enough. I guess we should get to a question sooner or later.
Oh, I guess that's my time. It's my time.
That is your cue. Yes.
All right, a little bit of revealing the puzzle.
I like it.
There you go.
That's why you're the architect, baby.
That's right. Let's start with SmackDown Live. Is moving on up. Not to the east side, but to Fox? What does this mean for SmackDown moving forward in regards to the day that it's going to be on and what we may see in the future for SmackDown? Well, we're moving on. The tears. Oh, the tears. Wheezy.
Break it down. Fish don't fry in the kitchen. Beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Get up in the bed. Yeah, take him to church, baby. Take him to church.
SmackDown Live.
SmackDown Live. They finally got a piece of SmackDown Live.
It's a $1 billion piece, though. That's got to be a good piece right there.
Dude, first and foremost, for anything, shout out to the E, man, for collecting the bag. The bag. And Balls, you're the stat guy here, so correct me if I'm wrong here. They signed a deal with Fox for 5 years, $1 billion. Is that correct?
$1 billion, yes. I'm going to just pet Mr. Bigglesworth while you talk.
Yeah, shout out to them. Hey, I mean, you can't, dude, they got $1 billion. What are you going to do? So I've got a lot of thoughts here, and I'm trying to kind of collect them all and make it make sense because we're doing a podcast. So number one, you know, content. That's just what it is right now. We're in a content-driven business, and WWE has done a good job, at least this time around, of projecting themselves as an actual sport. Because where it goes right now with content in the world of DVRs and whatnot, professional sports is the only genre of entertainment that is DVR proof, because nobody wants to go back and watch the game. They want to see it live as it's happening. And to a lesser extent, award shows are like that as well, because everybody wants to be part of the conversation on social media, so they tune into the award shows strictly for that. But professional sports, it's where it's at. And you've seen these TV rights deals go through the roof the last few years. Now, I want to double back a little bit, and I'm going to give the listeners a little bit of an inside baseball perspective. We have our own designated, all of the chair shot personalities and writers and entertainers and whatnot. We have our own, what would you call it, a DM? Is that the correct terminology? Is that what the kids call it?
That is what the kids call it, a nice DM thread, yep.
Okay, fair enough. So we have a nice DM thread. And I brought this up, and give me a little second to breathe, Balls, because I want to make this all make sense, man, because I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on here for a second. When the Greatest Royal Rumble was announced that it was going to be over in Saudi Arabia, I had made mention of this, and I kind of want to expand on it here, or expound upon it, I beg your pardon. So, all right, so they went over to Saudi Arabia. They got a bag over there in Saudi Arabia as well. So I made the connection, and yeah, I connect. Sometimes I connect dots that don't need to be connected, but I think these dots connect pretty well. So you've got the McMahons, who are the feds now. Obviously, they've got a foothold in that. Linda's the head of the SBA, so they're the feds, for better or for worse. Now, Saudi Arabia has a very chummy and friendly relationship with America. So how this all ties in together, Fox News, or we're talking about Fox, right? Everybody knows Rupert Murdoch, that weird Australian dude that thinks that Egyptians were white, but that's neither here nor there. Now, what people don't realize is that the parent company of Fox is a group by the name of News Corp. Now, News Corp is actually a Saudi Arabian company. So, you know, I don't think I'm talking out of school here when I'm seeing how all these things are tying together. Like, am I wrong on this assumption?
Are my gas prices going to go down?
Well, I ain't got nothing to do with that.
No, but that's actually a good connection. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so I feel like this was something that was in the works. There's a lot of political maneuvering and moving and grooving behind the works on this, and it just makes perfect sense, and it's perfect synergy. And, yeah, I just see all these things being interconnected in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Now, Balls, I want to ask you a couple of questions here, because I have a few questions. The first one, in terms of logistics, because I'm under the impression that this is going to be a live show that airs on Friday evenings. Is that correct?
Nothing has officially come out that I've read yet, but that is the current working assumption, yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I talked about this earlier. So, yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Fox to pay $1 billion for a tape-delayed television show. But, I mean, we don't know, to be continued. But let's just go under the assumption here that it is going to be live. Logistically, that seemed like that's going to be a nightmare. Not necessarily for the wrestlers, but for the crew, the production crew and the cameramen and this and that. That just seems like that's going to be a nightmare for them.
It is, assuming WWE uses all of their own people and they don't use Fox people, because I don't know what that contract looks like. And I'm obviously just assuming because no information's been out. But if you look at the deal that Access and New Japan have, when New Japan does something in Japan, it's a different level of production. And then when they had their American shows, you can tell they're using the Access people or a different pod or a different team or whatever you want to call it. So the production value isn't as high as we're used to, or is just different. So I don't know if they're going to do the same thing moving forward with having a Fox SmackDown team and a Raw, you know, NBC, USA, whatever you really want to call it, team, and go from there. So you might see changes in production. You might not see the same ring crew and all them traveling. I mean, the ring will probably travel, so there's probably going to be a couple people that move back and forth because the ring still has to stay the same. But when it comes to the production level, you never know. They may just have two different teams.
God damn it, Balls. Like, every eighth episode, you say something that's super intelligent, and I appreciate that. And that's why I get around. Yes.
That's why I drink.
Yeah, we totally disregard, like, we've only done eight episodes, but that's neither here nor there. So
I mean, we've done at least twice as many of that, something like
that. I know, man, but, you know, I got to maintain kayfabe, man. And speaking of kayfabe, that's the next question I have for you here. In terms of, or comment, and I want you to expound upon, in terms of kayfabe, if we're really trying to make Raw and SmackDown separate brands, the fact that SmackDown is leaving the USA Network really goes a long way to bolster that. So if they're going to be serious about creating this Super Bowl-type atmosphere around Survivor Series, where it's Raw versus SmackDown, having the two brands on separate networks is really going to go a long way to creating synergy for that, and that could actually be kind of a cool thing.
Oh, definitely, because now that brings up the question of, do they still cross-promote both brands? Is NBC going to allow Fox Broadcasting on there to be like, hey, watch SmackDown on Friday? Is it going to be more of, just like you said, more of a war with SmackDown maybe moving to 3 hours or Raw coming down to 2 hours, and they bring NXT up to USA for the third hour, so that way it just they compete one-to-one? I don't know. Like, there's a lot of interesting pieces that are going to be hopefully coming into play a year from now? Because when's the contract take place? October of 2019 or something like that?
I'm not sure. I just know it was 2019. Architect, what you got on that front?
You're asking me?
You're the architect.
You're the you guys are the. This is your show, brother. Beginning of 2019.
Beginning of not even October. Oh, I thought it was later than that.
Okay.
Oh, so we're looking at 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and
yeah,
oh.
Basically, right?
So it says beginning in the header of this article, and then in the middle of it, it says we'll move to Fox starting in October of 2019.
Ah, okay, I was right.
So there you go.
There we go.
There you go.
A little over a year then, so that gives them enough time to at least wrap up their current storylines, and then figure out how they want to do it moving forward. So that kind of makes everything more interesting for the next year.
It definitely does because there's going to be a lot of moving parts, because you got to imagine they want to make the best impression they possibly can, because they're getting a Billy out this deal. So there's going to be a lot of big name talent that I could see moving over to the SmackDown brand, just trying to create the biggest splash possible.
You know, it would be fun. And this is honestly just another Japan thing that popped in my head that could apply here. And that is that the TV company that owns or at least helps pay for All Japan is called Gaura. And they have a TV championship for, you know, televised episodes. So they have a TV champion. We haven't had a TV champion in WWF or E in a long time. So that would be interesting if one of the things that Fox kind of implements is a TV title that has to be defended every week on live TV just to ensure something is happening and people, you know, tune in for the off chance a title could change. Because that's something I always liked about WCW, and I feel like we're missing a little bit here.
Well, I'm glad that that was the Japanese thought that popped in your mind. So prayerfully, that means that it pushed Bukkake out. So that's cool. Good for you, man. You're expanding and evolving as an individual. So that's cool. So I had a couple more thoughts here, man.
Bukkake?
I promise it's not Bukkake. That's just disgusting. I don't hate women, so that whole thing does nothing for me. You know what I mean? I derive no pleasure from seeing anything like that.
Hey, yes. Different strokes for different folks. What can I say?
Yes, and my strokes is very different than that, but that's neither here nor there. So my mind is just bumbling over with the possible crossover capabilities, because you know Fox, they just spent a billion on this Melon Farmer. So they're going to go above and beyond the Call of Duty to try to make this thing a success. So let me just run a few by you, man, and maybe you come up with a few as well. Like, I'm pretty sure it's a guarantee that we're going to see Paige on that Gotham show for first and foremost. Like, that's just perfect, right? Like, I can see Elias on Empire, you know, Lucius coming up to him. Hey, Elias, I want to walk with Elias, man. You know what I mean? Hey, man, I want to walk with Elias.
Why wouldn't it be New Day? Why is it going to be Elias?
Because I'm glad you said that, because New Day is actually going to be on The Simpsons now. They're going to be Lisa Simpson's new – they're going to be Lisa Simpson's new eclectic music teachers. Now, DP, you are – DP, you're our resident Simpsons aficionado here. So does Lisa Simpson still play the saxophone?
She's always playing the saxophone, sir.
So yeah, so that's what it's gonna be. They're gonna teach her about pancakes and trombones and jazz music. That's where New Day's gonna be.
Well, they can entertain Homer by throwing pancakes at him.
There you go.
He loves pancakes.
No, that's next year's gimmick. They're gonna do New Day donuts for Homer. There we go. We have the gimmick next year.
So you got this. You smoking a bag of that. You
know I can. I like this. All right, let's go.
Check this out, man. So we got Rusev, Aiden English, and Lana in a Three's Company type remake gimmick. Okay. We'll call it Rusev Day, obviously. You know what I mean? But
we're gonna have Rusev Day.
Is Shane McMahon Mr. Roper?
Say that again.
Is Shane McMahon Mr. Roper?
Oh, I like that. No. Let me see. Who's a good Mr. Roper? I'm thinking Pat Patterson. I like Shane, though. Who's curmudgeon?
Who'd be Mr. Furley?
Dolph Ziggler. Dolph Ziggler's pretty curmudgeon. He could be Mr.
He's a little on the young side to be the curmudgeon. All right.
So, Pat Patterson. We're back to Pat Patterson.
We could. Yeah. Oh, sacre bleu, Lana and Adem. Happy team.
It's great. And you know, Triple H is going to be in the booth with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and whoever else, you know what I mean, during the NFL games.
Could you imagine Joe Buck announcing a WWE event?
Dude, you know who they need to get, though, seriously? Gus Johnson. Gus Johnson was born to be a WWE announcer.
What does he announce for right now?
He's with Fox, so he does the NFL. He used to do college basketball, but he's with Fox now, so he does the NFL and he does college football. He's fucking awesome.
I probably know who he is, you know.
Yes.
On TV, I just don't know the name off the top of my head, but okay.
He's awesome. And you know Cena's going to get some sort of Cheers reboot. So instead of it being an ex baseball player, it's going to be, you know, an ex-wrestler with all these different wrestling personalities coming in and out of the bar, and hijinks and shenanigans ensue, right?
Now, shouldn't Cena get the Ghost remake? made out of the Fox, you know, studios because nobody can see him. So he'll just be behind different people, like, making pottery and doing all this awkward stuff and be like, oh, I wish he was here with me still. And he's just like, I'm right here! What the fuck? Are you stupid?
Okay, I'm with that. So who Demi Moore? Who plays Demi Moore?
I mean, should we go with Nikki Bella just to maintain the kayfabe of are they or aren't they?
No, man. We got to go with an established TV actress. What about that woman that was on Will and Grace? Talking about Grace.
The redhead?
Thank you.
Oh, Debra Messing. Yeah, okay.
Oh, I got it.
The Will and Grace came back. They're doing Will and Grace.
Oh, okay. How about this then? How about the young lady that was the second Becky on Roseanne, and she played the cute neurotic doctor on Scrubs? What about her? She's a
Sarah Chalky.
Thank you. She's a veteran TV actress. What about her?
I mean, it would definitely be a comedy at that point then. Because then do we have, like, Zach Braff randomly show up as the Whoopi Goldberg character because he's an idiot?
Oh. See? You see what I mean? Oh, this is awesome, man.
I like this. Zach Braff was possessed by the soul of a black woman. So, because you know exactly how he was on Scrubs trying to think he was black with Turk. So, yeah. Could you imagine him doing that in Ghost, pretending to be Whoopi Goldberg?
By the way, shout out to our interview tomorrow with Grey Wolf, who was actually wrestling Whoopi Goldberg upcoming. So that's great synergy, Balls. You didn't even realize it, but thank you for that.
I was wondering where you were going with that, but okay, that works. Nice. Perfect segue, unintentional as it is.
So I got one more question, man, before we move on to topic number two. And I talked about this a little bit. It didn't really gain a lot of traction in our chats, but I wanted to talk about this. If I'm a wrestler right now in WWE, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing they just secured the bag in Saudi Arabia. They just really secured the bag with Fox, and there's all this money coming in. And I'm thinking to myself, it's like, well, all this money is coming in. I look around. I understand the landscape of society right now, the TV rights deals, that's where it's at. I see football got the bag a while ago. Major League Baseball got the bag. The NBA just got the bag last year. I'm looking around. Number one, you cut off my pay-per-view money revenue because you cannibalized that entire business. You cannibalized the DVD business as well on top of that. And I'm looking around. I'm saying I see these baseball players making this money. I mean, hell, we're in our lifetime, we're going to see a $1 billion baseball player, gentlemen. That's going to happen. And then I see these NBA guys making all this money, and I'm looking around. I'm saying, hey, I'm busting my ass 52 weeks a year. I don't have an off season. I have nothing like that. My money has drastically been cut. You know, I was going to say drastically and significantly at the same time, but you understand the point I'm trying to make. And I'm looking around, and I'm seeing all these money these guys are making. They have an off season. And then on top of all of that, they don't have to play through injuries because people understand they're an investment. And on top of all that, they don't have to go rent a goddamn Dodge Stratus to get to the next town. You know what I mean? Jesus Christ. Think about it, man.
I drive a Dodge Stratus!
Think about it. We're recording this on a Wednesday evening, so the Cavs and the Celtics are getting ready to play. So can you imagine LeBron's in Boston tonight, he plays, and then he's got to go and be four deep in a goddamn Nissan Versa driving back to Cleveland after the show? So, I mean... Yeah, so I'm just thinking about this, man. If I'm a wrestler, and it's tough because combat sports are so isolated, you know what I mean? And a good promoter kind of plays on that isolation, and they kind of play everybody against each other. Union? Am I thinking union right now?
Maybe? I was a little distracted because the Capitals game just started, and they scored within the first minute. And Ovechkin is God. But that's not the point.
I didn't do the best job of laying that playing either. So I kind of ran out of steam at the end. So I'm not going to be mad at you about that. But you understand where I'm going to go.
I get what you're saying. Because at first I thought you were aiming it towards the sports players possibly going on strike again for something different. Because of the simple fact that even though they get all this stuff, you know, they've got an off season. They've got all those things you were speaking of, and how do you validate the B-level wrestlers or B, C level, B team. We can even bring up the B team if we wanted to. How do you validate them upping their value or getting a bigger piece of the pie? Just because it's there doesn't mean that it's attainable. It doesn't mean it should just be handed out because, you know, they have the money. Because when it comes to sports players, there's a minor league, there's like a DL list, there's all these other contingencies for lesser players or lesser role players or whatever you want to call it. Yet the WWE doesn't really have that. It's either you're on TV, you're not on TV, or you're on house shows. So if you're a house show guy, what exactly does the union bring to you aside from lobbying against management to basically just up your pay?
Well, it brings you a guaranteed minimum salary, which is a good thing, because my counter to that would be if you look at baseball, you look at basketball, they have unions. And yes, you've got your super duper stars. But at the same time, even the, you know, rising tide raises all ships. So even the mid-level guys or the mediocre guys, they still saw a bump in pay as well, just because the leagues are generating more revenue than they ever have. And it's the same thing with WWE. That's honestly how I'm looking at it. And I just feel like I feel bad for the wrestlers. That's why I brought this up, because WWE is making more money than they ever have. And it's weird because they're this multi-billion dollar conglomerate, but this shit is still ran like it's American Choppers. Like, you know what I mean? Like this shit, like it's a multi-billion dollar conglomerate. And this shit is still ran like it's the goddamn mom and pop pizza shop right around the corner, you know, like Joe's Pizza and Wings and shit, which is astounding to me.
And I get that.
I feel like, you know, the WWE guys, they're the ones that, you know, all this money is happening and there's getting ready. We're on the precipice of a boom in the industry. And I feel like the actual talent is getting the shaft. Now, a good counter to that, though, would be the NFL. Like, WWE has kind of positioned himself as the NFL, i.e., you know, where basketball, it's a players-driven league, baseball and hockey, they're logo-driven leagues or team-driven leagues, i.e. the Canadians versus the Bruins or the Yanks versus the Sox. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The WWE and the NFL, they position themselves like it doesn't matter who we put in these uniforms or who we put in this league, you're going to tune in because it's the NFL or because it's the E. So that's the counter-argument. Like, nobody's bigger than the corporation or bigger than the brand. So that's the counter-argument. But
that was a good word you used with corporation, because I think the difference that I can at least draw is the fact that WWE is built and operated more like a company, like a blue chip corporation.
No, they're not. They're operated like American Chopper, man.
No. Follow for a second. Like, you know, Bristol Myers Squibb, everybody knows who that is. They make pharmaceutical products, they do all this other stuff. I know a lot of people that work there and everything like that, but they work primarily with contract workers. There's not a whole lot of actual employees. And that's the similar concept to WWE, where I'm pretty sure most if not all of the wrestlers are still just under this whatever, I forget what the phrase is.
Independent contractor kind of thing.
Yeah, so
That's game, though. You know that. That's game.
It's game, but it also helps WWE stay away from things like that, because if they're not an actual employee and they're an independent contractor, then who do you unionize against?
That's fair. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. The only way I could possibly, I think it would benefit the guys and the women, but the only way I could possibly see this happening is if that we're at WrestleMania and the two main eventers, and they've got to be on the levels of Rock and Austin, and they refuse to go out and perform the main event at Mania until we iron this out and they concede or acquiesce to forming a wrestlers union. Like, that's the only way it'll ever happen, and that's not ever going to happen. You know what I mean? Cena kind of ruined that for everybody, because he was the solid company guy, and I'm not shitting on him for that, but that's what it was, and that set the new precedent. You dig?
Oh, definitely, yeah. Calling Cena a company guy makes complete sense, because that's right. He did everything and anything the WWE asked and never really raised a stink, and now he's getting rewarded for it because he's got all these the reality shows, and he's in movies left and right. So they set him up because he worked with them. I don't know. Like, the union is possible, but I think it would just, the corporate structure of WWE, we would have to change. Because if everybody's an independent contractor, then, again, who do you unionize against?
Well, it would have to change from a corporate structure, or from a mom-and-pop shop to an actual corporate structure. Because if it was more of a corporate structure, now you got a dog in the fight. But seeing sure. as how, yeah, but seeing as how they run this shit like Chip's Ice Cream Parlor, they run this shit like fucking Sanford and Son. That's what it is. The WWE is Sanford and Son. Cue the music.
Oh, no. I'm coming, Elizabeth. I'm coming.
mark the tape, DP. Go back and put that in. Put the Sanford Son in. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
But anywho, man, shout out to WWE for securing the bag. $1 billion is $1 billion, and I'm excited to see what happens from here on out. I think you got anything else you wanted to add, Balls?
No, that went on for a decent bit, and you made some nice solid points. So I think we can easily move to two.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Two.
It's the Shane, you big dummy. That's my Shane left. What you doing, you big dummy? Jumped off the keys, you big dummy. You stick her angle through the glass, you big dummy. Oh, Linda, this is the big one. I'm coming home to you.
Where the hell were we? We're only on question two?
Yeah, that first one went on for a while.
Whew. All right, here we go. Still better. Daniel Bryan has been on, jeez, how many big matches since he's been back? He's already wrestled AJ Styles over an hour in the Greatest Royal Rumble. Big Cass, Rusev, Jeff Hardy, and now, for the first time ever in the WWE, he's going to take on Samoa Joe next week. How do you guys feel about this whole thing that they're doing with Daniel Bryan and all these big matches he's already had, and now one-on-one with Samoa Joe for Money in the Bank?
It makes sense, because it's basically trial by fire. It's how I see it is the opposite of the way they handled his last injury return when he got injured again, when they decided to take him out of the main event scene and throw him into the mid-card intercontinental scene until they saw if he would handle it, and then he got hurt again. So I guess they were proven right on that fact. But in the same respect, what else would you do with him? Like, if you bring back someone as big as Daniel Bryan, you have to put him in the main event scene, or at least around there somewhere. And with Samoa Joe just coming over, he's an established name, so he's big to the IWC and to quote-unquote smart fans or hardcore fans, but he hasn't done a whole hell of a lot in WWE except talk a lot of shit and then lose a couple matches here or there against people he should have probably beaten. So in the grand scheme of things, because they are who they are, it's a big match, but when it comes down to the storyline potential, it's just kind of a step in the right direction to get to see where we go for Money in the Bank. I don't really think it's being portrayed as that big of a deal, and it's probably going to be like a 15-minute match, so it won't even be that huge of a match. Do you have a different take on this, Platt?
Is Daniel Bryan positioned in the main event? I mean, is he?
I mean, he did kind of go against AJ Styles, and who's the champion right now?
But is he?
I mean, he's around the main event.
He's around the main event.
I mean, there can only be two people in the main event, really, if you think about it, unless it's a multiple-person storyline. And until this Nakamura thing resolves, he's still a main event player. I guess that's a cuter way to put it.
Because I'm just saying, I'm around the gym. Like, I can literally look out my window right now and see the gym. That doesn't mean I'm in that Melon Farmer. I see Daniel Bryan. And I would love to see him skyrocket to the main event, because you can make the argument that he's the most over person in the entire company. But I see him in kind of taking up that Shawn Michaels part two role. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I understand what you're saying. He's kind of sort of a fringe main eventer, but he's not really a main eventer. He's just kind of grandfathered into that spot because of his previous body of work. And if we need to put him up there for, you know, a match or two or because injuries or something like that, we could do that. But he's not really there. He kind of operates in his own little universe. And he's that guy that every big pay-per-view or every big WrestleMania, we're excited to see who they're going to program with him because we know we're going to get a good match out of it. I kind of feel like that's where they have slotted Daniel Bryan, or that's where they perceive Daniel Bryan to be.
That's a really good analogy with the HBK after he came back from his injury kind of thing, because you didn't consider him a main event player at the time. Sure, he wasn't the guy. He wasn't the main event, the showstopper, even though he had all those nice nicknames, he was still fourth or fifth banana on the tree. But what is main event to you? Because if you look at most companies and most boom periods, you know, be it WCW, WWF, Ruthless Aggression, WWE, or whatever, there's usually a good five or six guys that are positioned towards the top that are interchangeable. And even though it's usually two or three that get more of the title reigns, you're still not going to take anything away from like a Batista or a Booker T just because Randy Orton, Triple H, and The Rock carried, you know, 5 years. You know what I mean?
That's a good question, man. And I, in this regard, I'm more of a traditionalist. I feel like the world title is always the main event and should always be the main event. There's obviously always exceptions to that rule, but my general rule of thumb is that should be the main event.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, with WWE, it makes it weird because they've got that universal title now, which is basically world title number two.
I mean. Yeah,
I know.
You know what I mean.
I get exactly what you mean. Like, the big title should be the last match, the main event, the big thing that you care about. I get that. I agree, and I understand 100%. I was just curious because we were sort of saying the same thing, just coming from different angles with the Daniel Bryan thing, with because of who he is, he has to be positioned where he is. So I don't know if this match is per se as big and historic as many people are making it out to be, just because it's their first time they touch in the WWE. Because if it's anything we've learned from the WWE, like look at the Nakamura Styles thing, we yearn for them to touch for like the first time in 2 years, and now we're getting it like 6 weeks in a row, and now I want it to be done. They've done it into the dirt that it's no longer special, and we don't care, and we want it to end.
Let's just wrap it up. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Let's wrap this shit up. Seriously,
sounds like I depressed you. Right? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to kick you.
No, you didn't depress me, but this whole Nakamura or Hilsuke AJ Styles program has depressed me because it's been woefully underwhelming. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't a huge fan of their match at the Tokyo Dome either. And, you know, and then the WrestleMania match, that was obviously a dud. It wasn't horrible. It was just like, really, they worked a New Japan-style match in front of a WWE crowd, and it went over as well as a fart in church from the hooker that's blowing the deacon. So, but their matches, and while their matches have gotten progressively better every time they've wrestled, I'm with you, Balls. I'm just ready to be done with it. I want Hilsuke to have the title. I don't think he's going to have the title. Let's just wrap it up. Let's just kick each other in the balls and wrap it up.
So you're saying get some chicken, get some lettuce, put it all in a tortilla, add some shredded cheese, and that's a wrap!
No, I would never say anything like that. Yeah, yeah. Not, no.
Fine, next question then, blah, blah, blah.
And never again say that you long for their touch, please.
What, did it make you think of songs?
It did. It was back to Ghost. We were reference Ghost again.
See, that's what it is. Touch from Beyond. Uh-oh. Yeah. We're working on a title here.
It's happening. It's all happening.
I was thinking of a whole nother title. I thought I was on the Bukkake lane still, but I think you all's title is better, though. Let's go on that path, okay?
So the title of the show should be Daddy's Cool Touch.
Yeah, let's go on that path. Let's continue along.
That just works everything into there. Nice. Yes, all right, yes. Kevin Bacon, moderator. Next question.
Footloose.
My favorite of the five topics right here. Bobby Lashley and his wonderful, exciting return to the WWE. And what just one of the greatest segments I've ever seen when we brought out Huey, Dewey, and Louie, otherwise known as his three sisters, to Raw to tell him how terrible Bobby Lashley is. What in the holy hell are they doing with Bobby Lashley since they brought him back to WWE?
Balls, your thoughts?
Articulate as ever, Mr. Platt. That was well put, and unless I defecate into the microphone, I don't think I can make it any better. So,
you defecate in the microphone every episode, so why should you stop now?
You son of a bitch. That hurt if I had feelings somewhere. Remember, I'm sensitive. We've been over this.
You are. You're a goddamn pincushion, but you put that one on a tee.
That's mean. You're right, but I still mean anyway. Oh, Bobby Lashley.
Hold on, DP. Give Balls a virtual hug, man.
No, don't do that again. We did that a couple episodes ago. No.
How do we do it?
There you go. There you go.
No. No.
For being a friend. Doom, doom, doom. Travel down the road and back again. Doom, doom, doom. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. Go ahead, Balls, please.
I enjoy...
And if you threw a party... I'm fucking with you, man.
The therapy sessions in the middle of questions are always my favorite part of these shows because I don't know when it's going to pop up. And then somebody always needs a hug.
Typically it's you, but, you know... I know. Somebody always does.
That's because you're mean and abrasive, that's all. You don't need a hug. You just walk away and you try to find your flute. Now, if that's a euphemism, I don't know what the fuck else.
It's not. You just
I don't know
sound
about
like
you,
my
but
woman.
My
I'm
peenie
not,
just went, huh?
You both literally sound like my woman right now. I need to do some soul searching.
I mean, she's hot, too, so I'll take it. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
But anyway, so I guess we should talk about the topic because we went on about the other ones for a little bit. Bobby Lashley. You know the worst part to this whole stupid, whatever, this is your life, your three sisters are dudes cross-dressing with helmets and hockey sticks and brooms or whatever the fuck it was, is
you,
when
you
he
mean there's a worse part than the
yes.
three brothers dressing up like two Wong Fu?
Yes. That's a decent movie, though. Anyway.
You would like it.
John Leguizamo. How can you not like that?
Not that there's anything wrong
with it. What have you ever disliked about John Leguizamo and you can't say the Super Mario Brothers movie?
The hell I can't.
I said you can't. I took it off.
Fine. Empire. You seen that movie?
That's not that bad of a movie.
The one with him and Fat Joe? That's a bad movie, man.
It's not that bad, and he's good in it.
I could keep going, I'm sure. His stand-up specials.
I mean, he's in the John Wick movies. The John Wick movies are awesome.
Yeah, but in spite of him, not because...
His stand-up was awesome. And The Pest. No, how can you not love The Pest? The Pest is a great movie.
No.
Oh, no, DP is covering his face.
My head hurts.
You don't like The Pest?
Andrew, we do like you, but that has nothing to do with John Leguizamo.
I'll take it. That's a compliment to me, so I'll work with it. I'll roll with it. Anyway, the worst part to this whole segment was the fact that when Bobby Lashley came out to break it up and do the typical thing where he just takes the piss out of the segment and beats people up, no one cared. It was like morgue quiet. It was terrible. And much like there's something you love saying, Mr. Platt, so I'll put you over like Rover right here. Hate is not the opposite of love. The opposite of love is indifference. And that's exactly what the crowd gave Bobby Lashley. Was pure, unadulterated indifference. What the hell have they done to him?
I'm trying to be cool because I'm still a little pissy about, you know, the three brothers in drag. Because quite frankly, I ain't got over Titus O'Neil playing the goddamn banjo with a piece of hay sticking out the side of his mouth last year. So I'm not going to go there, though. I'm not going to go there, man. I don't know what the fuck is going on, Andrew. Like, what the hell are they doing? Are they purposely trying to sabotage this guy? I don't know what's happening. What the fuck, man?
The worst part that came from, I guess, the even illusion of leading into this story is I do Raw Reaction with Tony Acero and Harry Broadhurst on Mondays. We skipped it this week because they were out and I wasn't going to do it alone. But the week prior when Sammy hinted towards having the three sisters, I literally said he's going to get three guys and put them in drag. Tony Acero nearly like muted me and just wanted to kill me because he thought it was fucking retarded. But I'm just like, just watch. I'm like, they had a midget dress up as Daniel Bryan. So
little person, little whatever. Person.
It's still called little midget person. Wrestling.
It's little, it's little people. They don't even have it anymore. What are you talking about? When's the last time I saw that?
Mexico. Wait.
Okay, well, that's Mexico, man.
I also saw a donkey show down there. And,
yes.
And they don't call that different, you know what I mean? It's not like, you know, what, interspecies erotica. They haven't PC'd that one.
Regardless. Interspecies erotica, that's funny.
They dressed up a little person as Daniel Bryan and had Big Cass beat the shit out of him. So that was my whole take. I'm just like, they're not above this anymore. Or they never were. So, like, even in a PG, PC culture, they'll still do something stupid. And then when it happened, I popped only because I was correct. And then I had to sit through it, and I nearly wanted to kill myself. Like, that was terrible.
And I feel sorry for both Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn, because these are two quality performers. Hell, Sami Zayn's one of the best wrestlers in the world, man. And Bobby Lashley is a certified badass. I'm convinced, I'm thoroughly convinced they didn't watch any of his TNA work because, okay, is he The Rock on the mic? Is he Paul Heyman? Of course not. But he got exponentially better on the mic in TNA. And maybe that's because they had him as the big bad bully heel. So maybe that's what works for him. I don't know, but I know what's not working for him. I know him talking about his goddamn Pointer Sisters and then having... Having the goddamn village people come out representing them. I know that's not working. Jesus Christ, man. I don't even know what to say, man. I'm just pissy because it's Bobby Lashley. And they're, now I'm never going to have a black champion. The only thing I can hope for at this particular point in time is that when Jason Jordan was getting his knee or his neck fixed, they also gave him a personality transplant. Because other than that, it ain't looking hot.
Hey, you got Big E still. Big E's still the one you can put your money on.
I hope you're right, man. I really do. Because, I mean, I could see Big E being the face of the company. I might be putting extras on it. And he's not, you know, he's not that classically attractive guy that they might want to have in that particular position. But the dude is money. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But God damn. Yeah, that's all I can say. God damn, Bobby.
And he's sick of Milwaukee!
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dickos. Bobby!
Dickos. You have rights to be. Be sour.
I don't know, man. I'm just totally disgusted. This dude is a badass. He looks the part. I don't even know what else to say, Drew. I really don't, man. Hell, I just called you Drew, so you know I don't know what else to say. I couldn't even come up with a hand. That's I am, yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't even an insult, it was just a shortened first name. I'm like, damn. Okay, that's different.
I got nothing, man. I'm empty inside now.
Ooh, there's a fight in hockey though. Ooh, the Capitol beating the crap out of the Lightning. Okay, yeah, let's go to the next question, because obviously, Lucky's more interesting right now.
Drink it in, man.
Our dear friend Y2J cut another beautiful profanity-laced promo for his upcoming New Japan Pro Wrestling event. We'll play a little snippet here.
Be careful what you wish for, Junior, because it's going to come true. I'll see you on June 9th at Dominion. Fuckface.
So, what do you guys think, fuckfaces, about Chris Jericho being able to put on these amazing promos with Naito and their upcoming match that's going to be happening?
I know you are, but what am I?
I mean, it was a weird promo. I'll give him that one, because the video came on and it started with like Jericho walking up to a turtle, and then I'm not even joking. And
no, he's absolutely right. That's a shoot, ladies and gentlemen. That's literally how it started.
And then the turtle like does the turtle duck its head thing, and then Jericho just uses it. He's like, "Look, even the turtle knew to hide its head when Chris Jericho showed up." I'm like, What? Is this Lion King? Is it like, ah, oh, yes, the animals bow to me because I am the alpha. It's like, oh, God. And then Naito had a wonderful response afterwards where he's just kind of like, he took the piss out of like wrestling and stereotypes where he's just like, oh, when the lights went out, I thought he was attacking me again. And then he's like, oh, but I guess he was too busy to show up and did his usual cool tranquilo thing. But oh my God, like the promo wasn't that bad after you got past the turtle, but I don't know. Like it's interesting. I've been interested in this feud since what, January, when he first attacked him. It's just, okay. Since you don't watch it as much, how do you think this match is going to go, Mr. Platt?
Well, first and foremost, before I get into that, Mr. Blaz, I thought the promo and the whole exchange was really cool. I like the profanity-laced promo from Jericho. The only thing I thought could have been better is if he would have ended it with fuck boy as opposed to fuck face, because fuck boy is cool right now. Like, that would have been awesome. And I even really appreciated Naito's response. I didn't know what the hell he was saying. I know you've translated that for me. But just the fact that he was just kind of laying in the ring, looked like he was taking a nap, like just totally disinterested with everything he was saying. I thought that was cool. Be that as it may, I don't think this is any different from Jericho's recent WWE runs. I think he's here to make waves, and ultimately he's going to put the talent over because he doesn't need to be over. He's Chris Jericho. Like, I feel as if he's cemented his legacy at this point in time. Like, this dude is awesome. He's a legitimate rock star. He can come and go as he pleases. I mean, this dude was just in Saudi Arabia with the WWE last month, and now he's right back on New Japan. Like, this is awesome. And then when he gets done with New Japan and WWE, he's going on the road with his rock man. This guy does what he wants. And then when he gets done with his rock man, he'll mess around and he'll have a game show on ABC or something crazy. So Chris Jericho is goals, quite frankly. He is life goals right now. He's living his best life. He is his best Jericho. And I'm here for everything he wants to do. And I'm enjoying it. As far as how this angle plays out, I think Naito is going to win here because Jericho does need to win. I could see them doing a thing where Jericho goes over and he brags about being the 10-time Intercontinental Champion and I'm the greatest of all time, yada, 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 yada. And then they do the quick flip back. But I just got to go with conventional wisdom. And conventional wisdom says Jericho's going to huff and puff, and ultimately Naito's going to blow his house down.
That's a fair point. Because the only counter to that I have is, there's been a lot of heavy rumor, which I think we talked about when this attack first happened back after New Year's Dash in January, was that Jericho wanted to face all of the heads of the stables. And that's why you saw, like, he has a Los Ingobernables de Japón, you know, parody shirt, which it's like list. Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. And then he had the Bullet Club, you know, parody shirt. So I could see him taking the Intercontinental belt off of Naito, because Naito doesn't care about that championship anyway. He disregards it. He leaves it places. His last run with it, he was throwing it up in the air and breaking it, and tried to give it to, like, what, Starbucks or whatever for a cup of coffee. Like, he wanted nothing to do with this belt. Like, it was hilarious. And I could see him easily.
He tried to give it to Starbucks because they told him that if he didn't order anything, he needed to leave. And the manager called the cops on him. So that's why he tried to give them the belt, to smooth everything over. Too soon?
I mean, a little topical, so I'll take it. And yeah, that's fine. But I don't think they're that jumpy in Japan. So you just gotta...
Yeah, but it's Starbucks, which means it's white people, and you all are definitely
not
that
in Japan.
Jumpy.
Come on,
you all are definitely
there's
that.
Like jumpy. Five white people in Japan, and most of them wrestle.
And four of them are jumpy, and then there's Omega.
He's your special white person. He's different.
My speaking of different, man, the architect got his feelings about that one too. DP, you also are different. You're special.
Thank you.
He sounded so refreshed and just honored.
Got me right in the feeling hole.
That's all right, man. Hugs for everybody.
But either way, the point I was getting to was Jericho could beat Naito. Then he could have his match with Suzuki, because Suzuki actually valued that championship. So it gives a an angle there. And if he beats Suzuki, it also gives you an angle if Okada loses to Omega. Then you have to think you have to keep him away from that belt somehow for a little bit because he's held it for 2 years. So what better way to keep him away from it than to have Jericho going after him and kind of wedging him into this intercontinental feud, and then Okada takes the Intercontinental Championship off of Jericho at, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, and then he kind of has his secondary title run there, where it's not seen necessarily as a downgrade in New Japan, because the Intercontinental was raised up pretty high thanks to Nakamura carrying it. So it would just be a nice way to keep Okada's name out of the main event scene and kind of let the main event scene reset after the dominance of Okada if Jericho was to win.
I could definitely see that, man, and you know that product, you know, much better than I do. I'm just going off conventional American wisdom, but what the hell do I know? I'm a stupid American, so there's that.
But at least you're not super racist like Starbucks. Hey, next question!
Here comes the flute. Money in the bank is upon us, Mr. Platt. We've got
money.
We've got multiple branded Money in the Bank matches. We've got a men's match. We've got a women's match. We've also, it's not happening this year, but there's potential talks of a tag team Money in the Bank match maybe down the road.
Money, that's y'all potential talks, okay? That's a complete cluster of a match. That's y'all talks. I heard nobody else talking about that, but y'all.
I agree, dude.
With Platt.
Yeah.
So y'all better be like you and BC and not white people, because I'm taking myself out of this equation.
Well, by y'all, I meant the chair shot communion. That's what I meant. Or the chair shot locker room. That's the y'all I was referring to. Right, so, Balls, you are excluded from this one, yes.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Enjoy your pass.
So the question would be, with all these Money in the Bank matches, with everything going on, do you want to see a possible change to this format somewhere down the line in the future?
It's hard for me to question their business practices, DP, because they just secured $1 billion, so there's that. But again, man, I try to be more forward and progressive thinking in my thinking, but I'm a little traditionalist when it comes to this as well, man, similar to how I think that the world championship or the most important championship should close out the big shows. I kind of miss the Money in the Bank being a part of WrestleMania. I really do, because, you know, WrestleMania is the end of the season, and it's pretty much, you know, the kickstart of the new year. So I was really digging the idea of going into the new season of WWE with this person, with the Money in the Bank, and the infinite realm of possibilities that entails, especially considering now we have a competent women's division, and we could have two Money in the Banks going into that. But I understand what they're trying to do. They have 86 pay-per-views on the docket, and this year they've dropped that number down to 69. Giggity. Thank God. So, you know, you got to have some theme pay-per-views, man. You got to have a reason for people to tune in. So you got your Extreme Rules, your Hell in a Cell, obviously your Money in the Bank, which, and I've said this umpteen times, and I'll probably say it umpteen more. I look at Money in the Bank kind of like the Players Championship in the on the PGA Tour. It's the fifth unofficial major, because whomever gets that Money in the Bank, that can change the whole trajectory of the entire WWE year. So I wish it was still on Mania. I think it would add extra value to Mania, but I can't argue with a company that just made a $1 billion deal.
That's a fair point. This whole $1 billion and over $1 billion for Raw, if those numbers are trusted, you know, makes it hard.
USA gonna have to break bread, Balls. I apologize, man. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother. But yeah, USA gonna have to break bread because the precedent has been set. Like,
oh, I get you.
Box has been open, so yeah.
I agree completely. So it makes it more difficult to argue, you know, what they're doing and business practices when they're set to make, like, what, $2.5 billion just off of contracts on these two shows. So that makes it hard. But personally, I agree on the fact that I liked it better when it was a gimmick match on WrestleMania, because it gave you something to look forward to for Mania, and then they had to invent like these weird battle royals that mean absolutely nothing. At least Money in the Bank at that point had meaning. You know, you knew it was going to be a fun match. You knew it was going to actually matter because it upper mid-card guy or a possible main event player that's fallen down a little bit was going to get it and possibly reascend. So it was nice to see who they were positioning. If they were to drop Money in the Bank out of being its own show and go back to being maybe something they do once every big four, or spread it out like the women's is SummerSlam, the men's is WrestleMania, and then they flip them every other year or something like that. Regardless of what they do, if they were to make it a gimmick show instead of an actual pay-per-view, I mean, what stops them from bringing back other things that people have been asking to come back for years, like King of the Ring? King of the Ring could be its own pay-per-view.
I could dig that, man. You could actually replace, because it happens around the same time. You know, it happens. King of the Ring historically happened in June. Correct. So, yeah, you could get rid of Money in the Bank and then insert the King of the Ring. I can get on board with that, man. I'm not mad at it at all. I kind of miss the King of the Ring gimmick because it served the exact same purpose as the Money in the Bank. It was there to elevate somebody and take them to that next level. So it's literally the exact same purpose.
Exactly. And to appease the IWC, if we want to take this angle, everybody loves the G1 that New Japan puts on because they love tournaments. They love the Mae Young Classic. They love the Cruiserweight Classic. They love the UK tournament thing, whatever the hell that was actually called. And, you know, All Japan's Champion Carnival just had some of its best, you know, attendance and everything in the last couple years. So tournaments are something that many fans seem to really enjoy because there's a lot of high stakes to it, especially if it's single elimination or double elimination or round robin or whatever it happens to be. Every match matters, unlike what we usually get with pay-per-view, where it's a bunch of mostly meaningless television matches, and then the pay-per-views are sort of, you could kind of take them in a vacuum. Because even though, yeah, sure, the go-home, whoever usually stands tall, doesn't win on the pay-per-view, that's not even something that they hold true to anymore. So pay-per-views still kind of have their own narrative now. So it would be nice to have the tournament kind of stakes applied to a pay-per-view just to generate a little more buzz, a little more heat, and they could actually market it during the weeks leading up to it as this big tournament, as something that people care about, as something that is actually prestigious to a degree. Even though they haven't done a King of the Ring in a few years, it still goes back a while. So there's a lot of bells and whistles they could attach to this to make it a big deal for casual fans or people that don't tune in often. But again, it's hard to argue with a company that just made $1 billion on a B-show.
God damn it, Balls. You were doing so well this week. You really were. And then you had to just go nerd it all up, huh? You just had to. You couldn't help yourself, huh?
Nerd!
Couldn't help yourself. Yeah, good.
I mean, it happens once in a while, you know. You got to make the point from the other end. You know what I mean?
Boy, I guess.
is that a Bukkake joke?
Hey, brought it back around. Good job. Oh, yeah.
He's not the architect for nothing, folks. That was great. Yeah. Either way, man, I'm gonna look forward to this Money in the Bank coming up. Because Money in the Bank is always a cool pay-per-view. It's always just a cool match. And now we've got the women there. They've gotten one under their belt, so they're obviously going to be a little better at it as well. And I don't know right now. Oh, technically, Tony, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, they did do two. I bet you.
Two.
Well, a man won the first one, so, you know.
That's a loose interpretation of the word man, DP.
We should ask Mr. DeMarco if he's a man or not. Isn't that his gimmick now?
That's right. I like it. I love it. I love it. Yeah, Idris Elba. He's a man. He's a man. Jim Carrey. He's a man. Who we got? DJ from Roseanne. He's a guy.
He still looks like a boy. He still looks like 10 years old. Like, holy shit.
He is a boy. The guy that used to be on, you know, DJ is a boy. The guy that used to be on Roseanne, now he's on the Big Bang. He's a dude.
Yeah, he's more of a dude. Yeah. I agree there.
What else we got? Iron Man. He's a man. What else we got? Captain America's a man. Doctor Strange, I'm kind of getting guy vibes from Doctor Strange, even though he played a big role in the latest Avengers movie. I'm getting guy vibes from him.
No. Star-Lord is the guy. Doctor Strange has to be the man. He's just like that nerdy man. He's like the scientist chemistry man, but just because he ain't got muscles don't mean he ain't a man.
That's fair enough. He played an intricate role. Who is Star-Lord? Is that the little fox guy, or is that the dude, Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt is Star-Lord.
No. Pratt fucked it up, not Platt. Pratt.
I may have said Pratt, but I don't know. Who knows?
You said Platt, bro, and I had to...
I might have.
You did. Yeah, he's a dude.
Yeah, he is.
He's a definite dude.
He's a fucking idiot, too, but that's not the point.
Yeah, he destroyed the whole universe, man, because he was in his feelings about some green...
See, now we're getting on a tangent right now, but this brings up an interesting question, which... How do you feel about it? Because it's more of a philosophical question when it comes to a Marvel Universe situation. Did he really fuck up when Strange saw like 14 million different things and only one win? Yeah. Oh, so you know where I'm going with this, right?
I know
right?
exactly where you're going. He didn't fuck up at all. That was the one win. Because Strange even said it to Tony at the end because, you know, they didn't like each other. And Tony was like, well, what the fuck you saved me for? He said there was no other way. So that was the one scenario in which he saw the one win.
You're
and
right.
It played out exactly how it was supposed to play
That's
out.
That's why it's so funny when people are just getting on him about being stupid and damning the whole universe and being a fuck up. And it's just like, no, didn't you notice how different Strange was towards the end of the movie? When he's just like... Remember when he told Tony, he's like, if it comes between you and the stone, fuck you, I'm protecting the stone. Mm-hmm. And then he went back on that. He said the thing that you said. So there were enough dots to connect that people should have been like, oh, this had to happen. It was a necessary evil type thing.
Yeah, but, old boy's still a bitch, though. Let's not let him off the hook. Yeah,
he's a schmuck. He was such a whiny bitch.
Yeah, let's not. Like, yeah, number one, he was nervous around Thor. Like, man, you don't have your green woman under control, bro.
You be nervous around Thor. Thor is a man. Thor is like Roman Reigns. If Roman Reigns walked in and your girl saw Roman Reigns and you were standing there, you're like, ah, fuck, okay. He's got one eye, so at least I got two eyes, but he's still fucking Roman Reigns. Like, wouldn't you get a little bit nervous?
Listen, bro, let me hip y'all to a little bit of game, and then we'll wrap it up from here. If my woman bangs Roman Reigns, or Thor, or Star Fox, or the tree, or whoever, it doesn't matter. If my woman has sex...
Do a barrel roll, Platt. Do a barrel roll.
If my woman bangs another dude, that means A, she wasn't my woman to begin with. B, I'm slacking on my Mackin. Point blank, period. Then that's how that works.
And we got Pepe over here. I mean, balls.
I just laced y'all with some game, but you gentlemen, go ahead and enjoy your bukkakis for the evening. Andrew, let the good folks, let them know where they can find you, man.
Well, my Pornhub username is different.
I'm sure. What is it? Final Fantasy 72? Or no, Final Fantasy 69?
Yeah, how'd you know? Anyway, so you can catch me on the Twitter at IWC Warchief, and you know, maybe if you got some nice bukkake videos, maybe if you're a really big fan of Ghost like we are, you could send me like that scene where they're making pottery and shit like that. That'd be nice too. Send it to Andrew Belez at thechairshot.com. DPP, where can the people find you?
Well, they can find me all over the social networking on the interwebs at It's Me DPP.
And that wasn't a bukkake joke because you were all over the place?
I'm everywhere. It's just it's yard sale when I do my thing. It's...
Somebody get the towel.
Yeah. Next.
Yes, Mr. Platt. You save the best for last. How do you want to round this up?
Hey, man, you guys can find me at The Real C Platt on Twitter. And if you send me bukkake videos, I swear to God. I don't have a lot of money, but I have a particular set of skills, and I will find you, and I will bang your mom.
I feel about that one, though.
It's a revenge bang, man. It's like Kill Bill.
Oh, so she'll be cool with it?
Well, you know. Oh. She got her headphones on right now, so yeah.
But she'll be. Not only will she be cool, she'll be daddy cool.
That's not bad. It's a party, baby. Can you dig it, baby? Feel the groove. Give me 5 on the black hand side once again. For Andrew's gonna play Paul's glass. For the architect, DPP. Hell, even for the commissioner, PC Tutty. I'm Christopher Platt. Thanks for tuning in, man. We'll see you guys next week. Until next time, take us out of here, Daddy. Be sure to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to pick up your official with the referee's whistle chair shot t-shirts, ladies and gentlemen, baby.
See, you missed doing these, didn't you, DP?
I had a lot of fun the first time. Mr. Tunney came and asked me if I would do today's show. I'm like, hell yeah, fuck okay.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I have more fun on this one now.
I was about to say he had fun the last time, which means he didn't have fun on this time.
I was waiting for him. I was like, I see.
Hold on, dude.
Chair Shot Network.